Okay, our first speaker tonight sees things in many colors, and a lot of those are down in the family center. You can see his paintings, and they reflect the places he's been and the heart that he's had for people and the churches he's planted and all that he's touched. Would you welcome Pastor Matti Servio?
Thank you. Wonderful to be here, really. I learned something today that I think will really change my life forever. You know what it is? I never thought about it. This is fantastic. Pastor Luigi, I'm grateful forever. Thank you for teaching me this. It's always a problem where to put them, and I have a fitting head, you know. Somebody was complaining today that it doesn't work, and we know the reason why it doesn't work, right? Well, with my head, it works. Yeah. Lord, we love you. We love your people. We thank you that you have join us together with your people. What a miracle, what a privilege, what an authority in our lives. We want to hear from you. Speak to us as only you can. Yeah. We want to pray for the nations as you have taught us. We want to reach out to the nations as you have taught us. We want to lay down our life for the nations as you taught us. We are in you, you are in us. That's the mystery. We are excited about it. Bless your word to us in your name. Amen. I will read from Colossians 1, verses 24 to 27. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them he willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Especially in verse 27, two very important words, hope and glory. How can we live our lives without hope? How can we live it without glory? It's in God's plan that we would have a glorious life, that we would have a glorious end. About 30 years ago, I was pastoring the church in Stockholm, Sweden, and we did evangelism in the city center, and I met a man in the park who was obviously God was after him, and I shared Christ with him, and he was listening, and then he gave his business card to me, and he says, if you ever come to New York City, you know, give me a call, and I want my family to meet with you. Of course, he didn't know what he was doing. Poor man. A couple of years later, I was in Lenox, Massachusetts, in the Bible school, and we had an outreach. You remember those amazing Saturdays, and we would go all over the place, and we had a group of people who went to New York City every weekend, to Brooklyn, to Brighton Beach, to reach the Russians. And we were so young, and we were so wild, and we were so spiritual, and we never thought about money or anything like that kind of secondary issues. And we just went, and we just drove. It was like 4 hours, right? And it was amazing. It was amazing times. And once we went, and then we had been witnessing the whole day, and of course the day comes to an end, and in the middle of the day I think that maybe we should find a place to stay overnight somewhere, and we didn't even think about it, and then Ray Eamon was with me. Some of you remember Ray Eamon, and my precious friends Hanele and Elina. So Ray said, we can go to the airport, we can just sleep there. I said, yeah, I could do that, but I don't think it's, you know, with Elina with her violin and, you know. So I said, I know we have to think about something else. And then I remembered that I have a business card. You know, so I found the business card and I called this man and I said, hi, this is me, I'm in New York. And so he invited me for dinner that evening to his house in New Jersey, and so Ray took us there. We decided that Hanel and Elena will go with me, and Ray can go to the airport, and so we didn't take him in. Oh, wow. So then I had not told him that I will have some friends with me, right? So the girls have plastic bags and a sleeping bag, right? And we come to this area. It's a beautiful big house and very rich area. And I ring the doorbell, and this man David comes and opens the door. And I said, hi, I'm here. And I have some friends with me. And I look back, and Elena is there with her violin and with her plastic bags, you know, like this. And it's like, you know, and I said, can they come in? And he said, well, we were not really prepared for this, but yeah, come on in. And then and Elena come in, and it's obvious they have almost like a mattress with them, you know. And so I say to the man, and I said, by the way, do you mind if we stay here tonight? And he said, well, we were not really prepared for this, you know. And they were very prepared for my visit, because they had this beautiful, you know, dinner table set, used all this silverware, like so many of them, and you were, I mean, it's a potential mess totally, you know, like, you know. And then they had invited this professor from, Estonian professor, just that I would have company that I could relate to, because Estonians and Finns are. So they were so well prepared, and it was like total, like, you know, everything somehow was so going wrong, you know, and but then finally we sit around the table, and it was like, that was like, so what's next, you know, and then, you know what happened, then I just prayed, God, just like, you know, do something, please, like, you know, give an idea or something, you know. And God, you know, gave me this boldness, and I said, if I don't do it now, it's not going to happen. So I said, you know, we really love God, and do you mind if we pray together? And they said, well, we are not prepared. But, you know, so we prayed. And I can remember, I remember that moment, you know, at that moment when I started praying, you know what happened? God's presence just filled that place. God's presence just was there. And it was so powerful. It was so supernatural. And I remember many things from that night. You know, I remember Elena playing Sibelius to them. I remember Hanele washing dishes in the kitchen. You know, I remember many things. But what I definitely will never forget is the presence of God that filled that place. And I hope that they will never forget that. And I think that this is what missions is all about. God is present everywhere. We know that He's an omnipresent God, but He has chosen to reveal His presence through His people. And this is what happened in the beginning when Adam and Eve, when they hid themselves from the presence of God. In Genesis 3, it says that they hid themselves from the presence of God. What a sad thing. What a sad page to human history. That they hid themselves from the presence of God. And then later on, when God continually surrounded His people and His creation, then different leaders, they were always very concerned about this, about the presence of God. Like, how do I discern the presence of God? Like Jacob, we heard about that, the ladder, Jacob's ladder, and he slept there, and then he woke up and he said, God is in this place, and I didn't know it. I thought this was just a rough place. I thought this was just an ordinary place. I thought this was just a bad situation in my life. But actually, God was in it. God is in this place. And I'm sure many of us, we can share that testimony from our lives, that there have been moments when we were kind of lost and maybe suffering and maybe complaining and in a dead end and difficult place. And maybe we didn't know that God was in that place. But He is, and He leads us with His presence. And it's amazing when we think about God leading us with His presence. It is something that is beyond us, because God's presence is not asking for our permission. Isn't that amazing? Like, we go and we bring God's presence to places. When I was in Samarkand, we had a farm there, and I'm not a farmer, but we had a big farm, and somehow it happened, you know, and then we need a veterinarian to come and give shots to the animals, and somebody said that they know a guy from Scotland who has become a Muslim, and he's a veterinarian, and he will do it free. So when I heard that a guy from Scotland has become a Muslim, I said, sounds like one of those missionaries, you know. And they said, yeah, he's always keeping the Ramadan fast, and he's like, you know, became a Muslim. I said, all right, well, let me meet him. And then David came, and far off, when I saw him, I saw Christ. I said, okay, the Muslim from Scotland is coming. Christ was written on him everywhere. It was just so amazing. I said, David, do you know that people think that you have become a Muslim? He said, what are you saying? Yeah, I said, well, it didn't go the way you planned, but maybe you can change your approach a little bit. But he had that witness, that testimony of God's presence. We all do. God is in us. Isn't that amazing? God is in us. And He will show Himself even when we don't plan on it. That's why it's so difficult to be backsliding. I don't know if you ever tried, but it's very difficult. Because God comes out of you. You know, and you try to deny something that is undeniable. He's in you to stay. Jonah is our precious friend from the Bible who really just tried to escape the presence of God. But actually, Jonah brought the presence of God to the boat, right? everybody started saying, something's going on here. What is different here? Whose fault is this? This is not as usual. Something's happening here. Then they found Jonah sleeping in the presence of God, you know, resting. And then he brought the presence of God to the fish. God was there with him. And then he came to the shore. And he was still speaking back to God. Isn't that amazing? After all this experience, he was still like debating with God and trying to justify himself and trying to avoid the call that God had placed in his life. And I love that end of the book of Jonah, when in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, when God is speaking to him, and you remember God gives him a plant. And the plant is like, he's so excited about it. a little bit overdid it, like, you know, this one plant. And was like, I have a plant, you know. And everything was about that plant, you know. And then it withered, you know. And then he again gets angry at God. And then God tries to give this comparison a little bit. That, listen, there's a nation, there's a city, 120,000 people who don't know which one is right hand, left hand. They don't know anything. They have never experienced the presence of God. They have never experienced the presence of God. It has never been revealed to them. And you care about this plant. Should I not care for these 120,000? I was reading some statistics about the Middle East. You know, there are over 400 million people there. We have like, besides the church in Jerusalem, we have like maybe less than 30 known Greater Grace believers in this area of over 400 million people. And I'm sure that more than half of those 400 million people have never experienced the presence of God. This is amazing that we can bring it to them by just being there. We might be not good speakers. Maybe our personality is not so appealing. Maybe we are not so gifted. Maybe we don't have money. Those are very secondary things. But the fact is that God is in you, God is in me, and wherever we go, we bring his presence with us. Amen.
It's kind of like overwhelming, isn't it? I mean, I'm like, I lost my like mind a little bit, like train of thinking, just listening, and it's really something. Just before we read this, Pastor Stevens wrote me a note in 1991, just 23 years ago, and in the note he said, I was a little bit like wondering what I was doing and whether this was really working. And he wrote a note, I guess he wrote it to the about the Phelpses and about missions. But he said, a small vision in someone's heart has become a living reality and gone beyond what you could have ever imagined or thought. A small vision in someone's heart has become a living reality and gone beyond what you could have ever imagined or thought. Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul's saying, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Father, we thank you. We pray for a lost and dying world, that you would send us, use us, help us to minister this mystery of the gospel. Thank you so much for saving us. You came to seek and save that which is lost. In every street of every city, in every country, in every continent, help us to reveal your Son. Help us to love people. Touch us, that we may touch others. Thank you for the ministry of Greater Grace worldwide, and the vision, maybe in Maine, began as a small vision. It was in someone's heart. It became a living reality, going beyond what you could have ever imagined or thought. When we think about the missions march that we will watch tonight, we saw these, heard the testimonies, and saw the amazing photos from around the world of life beyond what we could have ever thought or imagined. Help us to be people who pray. We need help, God, to pray. Our prayer changes things. We pray for our country, this amazing country, which has been a foundation of gospel missions. Touch the United States of America. Save souls, plant churches. Bring miraculous conversions in this country. May we always be praying. Bless our night tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Monty. That was awesome. This word that Paul uses, the mystery. I heard Pastor Ken Day this week. He said something, and he said that, and I just use it in reference to missions, but missions can be a monument, a machine, or a living mystery. And many times what has happened in missions, it's become somehow stagnated, and you see maybe monumental movements that were great, and all of a sudden there's just nothing there anymore. It's not a living reality anymore. It's not a truth. It's not living in the mystery. Then you see a machine, which means just a organization, a pattern of doing things, but it's nothing more than something external and really has nothing to do with the life of the mystery anymore. But Paul uses this incredible word, and really missions is a mystery. It really is a mystery. And he uses this particular word, especially, I think, speaking to the church of Ephesus, where they worship Diana of the Ephesians in the city of Ephesus. If you read Acts 19 and 20, I don't know if you can imagine this. They were shouting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," for 2 hours in the city, like at the top of their voices, I can imagine. I don't know what it would have been like to have been there. It was a little bit different than a football game, something like that, a soccer game. And so there was a lot of strange things going on in Ephesus and in Asia. But Paul goes in there with the mystery of the gospel. And what comes out of there is the seven churches of Asia. When he says in Revelation 1:20, I want to reveal to you, show you the mystery of these seven churches. And really the mystery, when we you and I, if I myself lose the aspect, the thought, the foundation of it being a mystery, we become in our thinking very distracted, and we want things to go in a particular way. And God says it's a mystery. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible said it's the mystery of his will. In Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about the mystery of the word, verse 3. Through revelation, he might make known the mystery through his knowledge. Then he talks about the mystery of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Then the mystery of grace in Ephesians 3, 6 through 9. And it's really amazing, the mystery of the body in verse 9, talking about the mystery. The body of Christ is a mystery. It really is an amazing mystery. And as we are here today, we just have fellowship in the mystery. Then he brings home this amazing truth about the mystery of the gospel. And as we take this message to a lost and dying world, I don't personally want to ever lose sight deep within my heart this mystery that we have. And thinking of Acts, I'm looking at Acts chapter 8, as Saul of Tarsus was persecuting people and scattering people into all the world. He was pushing them out through persecution. He was breathing out threats and slaughters. It meant that it was as easy for Paul to murder as it is to you and I to breathe. He's breathing out threats and slaughters. And he sent them. All these people were scattered all over the place. And in Acts chapter 8, Philip, one of the seven deacons, praise the Lord for spiritual deacons, he takes the gospel and he's preaching the gospel in a city, and everybody gets saved. And then he makes his way to Caesarea. And we can see that in Acts 21 verse 8, that at the end of his third journey, Paul finds himself in Caesarea. And guess whose house he stays in 20 years later? 20 years later, he's in the house of Philip, the evangelist. By the way, I love it. He had four daughters who were evangelistic. That's just amazing. So there's a 20-year period. And for the first time, I believe that Paul meets Philip. And maybe Philip, Philip is there because of Paul or Saul scattering people. And then all of a sudden, he finds him there. And that's what's known as a what? A what? Mystery. A mystery. That's a mystery. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God, man, justified in the spirit, finished work. Seen of angels, eternal. Preached on or to the nations, the gospel. Believed on in this world, the faith that takes place, and received up unto glory. Paul says it's a great mystery. And he's speaking about the church. The context there is from verse 15, that if I tarry long, you may know how to behave yourself in the church, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Then he's saying in the church, this is what's going on. This is the mystery. It's a great mystery. And as you think about the Bible and you think about the New Testament church and the mystery of what is taking place, I mean, isn't it a mystery? God takes a man from the Ur of the Chaldeans and makes him the father of our faith. There's this one man in this incredible, by the way, very sophisticated civilization. And here's the mystery. God goes in there and speaks to one man, and one man comes out. Listen to the mystery. Genesis chapter 37, that Joseph is actually, by his own brother, sold into Egypt. He goes down as a 17-year-old boy, and they come out of Egypt as 2.5 million people. That's a what? That's a mystery. What a mission program that is, huh? That's incredible. I mean, when you go down, 17-year-old boy, you come out, and, you know, a number of them went down 75, but they come out 2.5 million. Protected by God and able to just expand and multiply and increase. Then the mystery, God calls Moses to Egypt. It's incredible. It's a mystery. And two men in the book of Joshua, it's a mystery. And then Ruth, the Moabitess, it's a mystery how she becomes like in the lineage of King David. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how Ezra and Nehemiah can go from Babylon back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and the wall and establish a testimony there again. That's an incredible mystery. How about Esther? In Esther chapter 4, and God's going to speak, and she's going to be used to save a whole nation. That's a what? That's a mystery. It's a mystery how Isaiah would be told in Isaiah chapter 6 when he's unclean and undone, but my eyes have seen the King. Who will go for us?
that God would take an undone, unclean person and use him to bring the gospel. That's a what? That's an incredible mystery. Can these bones live? Ezekiel 37. That's a mystery. That Israel is still here with us. That's an incredible, that's the mystery of missions. It's the mystery of the gospel. And Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, also pray for me that I may be given a door to speak the mystery of the gospel. And really, I was thinking these two things are so incredibly simplistic and unique. We just speak to God about people and speak to people about God. That's all it really is. God, today I'm praying, touch somebody. Then I go out and I speak to somebody and they are born again. They are saved. They're a Pastor Mati. It's incredible. It's an incredible mystery. What is going on? That there they are and they're up in the upper room and all of a sudden the coming of the Holy Spirit and these 120 men, I don't know what they're thinking, what's going on in their hearts, if there's things that are happening, their doubts, their fears, their anxieties, and the Holy Spirit comes and the person who denied the Lord with a actual sixfold denial gets up in Jerusalem and starts preaching Christ. That's a what? That kind of transformation is a... It's a mystery. I was reading a story this afternoon about how when they, or before they arrested Adoniram Judson, who was the first American missionary, sent out by Congregationalists, then became a Baptist, and then I don't know what else he became. And he was there and they arrested him, and he was actually writing, he had a manuscript of the Bible, which became the Burmese Bible. By the way, it's the very Bible they use today. Hundreds of years later, it's the only Bible in the country. And so they dug a hole when he was arrested and put the Bible under the foundation or something under the house. They dug a hole and put it there. And then his wife had an idea that somehow they began to know and they were going to come and destroy the house and they're going to find this Bible. So she took the Bible and sewed it in a pillow and brought it to prison and he slept on it for 2 years. And that Bible is still here today in Burma. That's a what? By the way, do you know that they traced 200,000 converts to Judson and his original 70-something people and 2 million born-again believers linked to Judson? That's a what? That's a mystery. You got it all figured out? I have my life all figured out. I got it all together. I know exactly what I'm going to do with my life. Oh, yeah? God's into the mystery. That's amazing. It's a mystery. Well, we're praying right now. I think we should go to... This is the Apostle Paul, of all people who had revelation from God in this incredible place for 3 years. I think we should go to Bithynia. Spirit said no. I think we should go to Phrygia. I mean, he's got great desire to do something, to go somewhere. And all of a sudden, in the night, a vision came. A man of Macedonia said, come over and help us. And we immediately endeavored to go forward and bring this message of the gospel. And he ends up going to jail. But the jail is shaking. The jailer gets saved. His whole house gets saved. That's a what? That's a mystery. That's incredible. Think about it. I read this verse. Tonight, they of Caesar's household greet you. That's Philippians 4:22. Paul is saying, by the way, people in Caesar's house are saying hello. They're saved. That's a mystery. Caesar's house. Wow. And 1:12 of Philippians, in all places and the palace, that Christ's name is being manifest. That God would use Paul in Rome to seek conversions. How'd you like to be chained to him? How would you like to be watching him every day for a number of years? What do you think you're going to hear? You're going to hear the mystery of the gospel. And then maybe you're going to get saved, or they do get saved, and they go to the four corners of the earth, and they've got the gospel in their heart, and people get saved, and that's a mystery. That's a mystery. And so finances for missions live in the what? Mystery. Small vision. I could never do that. You can't even talk. I'm stuttering. I can't do something. What do you mean? Go. No. It's a what? It's the mystery. Living in the mystery. Where can God take us in 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years? It's a mystery. Wow. It's exciting. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't need to know what's going to happen. It's a what? It's a mystery. Habakkuk chapter 2. The vision is yet for the appointed time, though it tarry. Wait for it. It doesn't really tarry. The just shall live by faith. It's a mystery. Jonah, I mean, everybody getting saved, like Pastor Martin said, that was a what? A reluctant, aggravated preacher. Bringing the message to a city and everybody's born again. Huh? That's a what? That's a mystery. It's a mystery. I read this story today, and I've told this before, but bear with it, because it's an awesome story. In the 1800s, two missionary couples went to the Belgian Congo. And as they entered the Belgian Congo, two couples, they entered there, and they were told by the authorities, the village chief authorities, they could not bring the gospel into the very villages they had prepared 2 or 3 years to go to. They were told, you can't. You cannot bring the gospel here. No, you can sit where you are at your house and maybe we'll let one or two people, somebody come to you and bring you food. That's all that's going to take place here. And they were very discouraged. They thought to themselves, we came all this way from Sweden to the Congo for this to take place. God, where is God? Where is God in this? You ever ask that question? Where's God? God's in the mystery. I'm in the natural, God's in the mystery. I'm in the human reason, think it through. Okay? God's in the what? The mystery. So every day a little boy would come with eggs and chicken. He was 12 years old. And the wife of one of the missionaries led him to Christ, the only person. Then the wife, giving birth to a child in the Congo, she died. The wife died. And the husband was so angry at God. He took the baby and said to the other two missionaries, you take the baby, I'm going back. I'm going back to London, England. There's no God. There's no God. This is horrifying. Look what we couldn't preach. My wife dies. I don't even want this baby. He goes back. The two missionary, the couple, Swedish couple, they both die of malaria. As they're dying, they give the baby to two American missionaries. The American missionaries take the child to America, and the child is there being raised and grows up. And one day, this child, not knowing a lot about her history or her background, is looking through a Christian magazine, a Swedish Christian magazine, and she sees a picture of a graveyard in the Congo. And on the graveyard, a white stone, it says, Sevilla Flood. Sevilla Flood. Says, oh my God, it's my mother. It's my mother. So she finds out that in that very village, many people got converted. There was a Christian school there, a church there. This occurred years later. This is unbelievable. So she goes to London. Her father is a drunken alcoholic. He doesn't believe in God anymore. She says, Daddy, he said, don't you even talk to me about God. Don't you mention the name Jesus. I don't want to hear it. And he just turned his back on her in the room and would not speak with her. And she said, listen, your life wasn't in vain. Listen, I want to show you something. And you know what? It was like he just totally broke. And she stayed with him to minister to him. And while they were there, she was married to a man named Dewey Hearson. They went to a convention. And a man got up to preach, and he was from the Congo. And he was overseeing 100,000 believers in many churches. And she went up to him, and she said to him, like, I know this is crazy, but have you ever heard of this village? And this is a picture of my mother's grave. The guy started weeping. He says, I'm the little boy. I'm the little boy. I'm the boy that came and your mother gave me, I gave your mother chicken and eggs and bread, and she gave me the gospel. He says, your mother is a national hero. in our country. And she went to the country and they lined from the airport to the grave thousands of believers. That's a what? That's a what? That's a mystery. That's a mystery. The mystery of our salvation. The mystery of faith, 1 Timothy 3:9. It's a mystery. And I want to live in the mystery. I want to live in the mystery. Years and years later, a man of God hears the gospel and says, I got a vision to go on all the world. And here we are tonight in a great praise and celebration unto God for the mystery and how it has played out and how it will continue to play out. Just look at it. We heard from China and from India. I was thinking there's like almost 3 billion people in those two countries. You know how we're going to reach those countries and plant churches in those countries and in America and in Africa and in Central Asia and Europe and South America and Russia? It's going to happen not by just amazing organization, thank God for that, not just by finances, not by this and not by that, and not by using all the methods that everybody seems to think is the way it ought to be done. Somebody said, I got some books for you to read about missions. I said, I got a book. This book is the mystery of God. Thank you for your book. I always wonder why some people write books and it takes them 400 pages to say two things. Say two things and get out of the book. The mystery. The mystery. How are we going to finance it? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. We've got some orphans that are having a vision to go to Somalia from Uganda. That's a what? That's a mystery. My life is the result of it. I'm in the mystery. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. Don't know what I'm doing. Don't even care. I just know it's the mystery of God. We speak to a person, they get converted. All of a sudden, they go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's a what? That's a mystery. A church is planted. People are praying. People go to China like 40 years ago and there's churches there. That's a what? That's a mystery. A man takes the message like Pastor Carl and he brings it to India. And there's 92 churches in India. How does that take place? Huh? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's not a machine. It's not a monument. It's a mystery. Thank God. As we watch the march tonight, we're going to see and we're going to fellowship with the what? With the mystery. We're going to fellowship with the mystery of the gospel. And that is awesome. Amen. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you tonight. For a small vision in someone's heart has become a living reality and gone beyond what you could have ever imagined or thought. That's a mystery. And we are stewards of the mystery. 1 Corinthians 4:1, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Thank you. Thank you. 11 Galileans giving a commission to go into all the world. No money, no education. That's a what? It's a 11 fishermen, Galileans. No education, no money. Here's the commission. Go. They were going to live in the what? The mystery. Living in the mystery. A murderer converted becomes a preacher of life. Saul of Tarsus. That's a what? It's a mystery. That's a mystery. A jailer born again. A mystery. A woman at a well. Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could not this be the Christ? I believe she was a foundation for the Acts 8 preaching where everyone in the city got saved. That's a mystery. The disciples were busy looking for food. Jesus was looking for souls. What a mystery. A mystery. The mystery. A small church in Rome. The mystery. Reaching the world. The open door. Acts 14:26. A door of faith.
2 Corinthians 2:12, a door of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 16:8 and 9, a great and effectual door. It's a mystery. Churches, souls. It's just, it was two men, Paul and Barnabas. It's a mystery how two men could do that. It's a mystery. Because God is in the mystery. The mystery of godliness. Father, we thank you tonight. If you are here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ, there's the mystery of salvation, the gospel. Say simply a decision and then a prayer, God save me. It's a mystery. Translated from darkness to light, from death to life, from sorrow to joy. If you're watching on the internet, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not maybe, you must be. It's a mystery. The seed goes into the ground. It's a mystery. Jesus told the disciples about Matthew 13:11, mysteries. Unto you is given the mysteries. Thank you, God. Because of grace, we are receiving and having fellowship with the mysteries. If you prayed that prayer tonight, say yes to God. If you're here, lift your hand up. Jesus, save me. On the internet, say yes to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In our lives, may we never walk away from the mystery. The mystery. It's a mystery how the gospel could be preached for decades. Decades. 50 years. It's a mystery. William Carey in India. Livingstone in Africa. Wesley in England. Eliot, people in South America. The Moravians were right on Moravia Park Drive. The Moravians. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. We're right on their street. They were right here years ago. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Why we're here in Baltimore. It's a mystery. This city is a city where you can experience the mysteries of God, the mystery of the gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. The mystery of Hudson Taylor in China. The mystery. Father, we pray that you would just speak to us as believers, pastors, church members, members in particular, that we would have a desire to fellowship with the mysteries. Thank you. Bless our night tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.